A very warm welcome to all our listeners this morning at home and around the world, but especially those of you in our local hospitals in Newcastle and Gateshead. This is Sheila Hummel presenting New Day Dawning, a programme of inspirational music and personal reflections on passages from the Bible. And today's gospel reading is all about two miracles that Jesus performed in the town of Capernaum. Today, let's pray for some miracles of our own too. The word goodbye is often a sad one. It reminds us of those times in life we've had to part company from something or someone. Perhaps we've been made redundant or we've had to retire. Perhaps someone has left home. It may even remind us of something we once enjoyed, a good life, our health, a former home even. In our Old Testament lesson today, the second book of Samuel, David is saying his goodbye to two dear friends who've been slain in battle. He loved them dearly, and this comes out in what he says about them. These two men, Jonathan and Saul, have played such an important part in David's life. Once such colourful characters, so full of life and strength, are now no more, and he is deeply grieved. "How are the mighty fallen?" he cries. He could have been filled with bitterness at their passing, but instead he praises them both, so thankful for all the precious memories they shared together, despite the fact that Saul treated him cruelly. But here's a song sung by Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman, which helped me through a crisis once. It brought me to a point where I could at last accept that word, goodbye.
Quando sono solo, sogno l'orizzonte e manca la parola. Sì, lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me su le finestre, mostra il tutto il mio cuore che hai acceso, chiudi dentro me la luce che ho incontrato per strada.
That was a song called Time to Say Goodbye. Our gospel reading today tells of a man who's not ready to say goodbye to his dying daughter. The story is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, from verse 21, and because it's rather a long reading, I'll split it into two parts. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," said his disciples, "and yet you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Let's hear again a song which opened last week's program, all about the stilling of the storm, because the second verse tells us about this man, Jairus, and his daughter, and the miracle of Jesus raising her to life after she had died. The song is called "The Man Who Calmed the Sea" by Stuart Townend.
See the stricken boat as it is tossed upon the sea. Hear the fearful cries that wake the man from Galilee. He stands before the raging, speaks peace and harmony. Winds and waves obey. He is the man who calmed the sea.
Desperate father's anguish plea. Heal my dying child, he begs the man from Galilee. With words that banish sorrow, don't fear, but just believe. Don't live again. Commands the man who calmed the sea. And as she stands before them, what joy from agony. He's the master and the maker. He's the man who calmed the sea. Shrouds the hill of Calvary. High upon the cross, there hangs the man from Galilee. The earth, it quakes with sorrow. The sky grows dark with grief. All creation mourns to lose the
Our reading goes on to say, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher any more?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. In our Gospel reading today, it would be easy to overlook the significance of what is really happening here. Jairus is a leader in the synagogue at Capernaum, able to influence the elders. He supervises worship and the life of the whole community. He's also a leader in the practice of holy law, and may even have been a critic of Jesus. So by approaching Jesus for help, Jairus would have had to say goodbye to prejudice. By prostrating himself at Jesus' feet, he has to say goodbye to his pride. And since his daughter's life is fading and he can't wait any longer, he must say goodbye to procrastination, putting off the moment. And you can just imagine what some onlookers might have been saying about Jairus. Look at him grovelling. How undignified. He's actually gone to that heretic for help. I only know that I very nearly put off the most important moment of my life by remaining firmly in my seat when people in the congregation were invited out to the front of the church to be prayed for. I'm respectable, I reasoned. I'm a schoolteacher, for goodness sake. Besides, someone might recognise me. But I overcame all of that and later at the close of the service found the courage to go forward and be prayed for, and my life was totally transformed in that moment. Here's a song sung by Carrie Underwood about a person in dire need who cries out to Jesus to save her.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the
a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. But there's another character in this same gospel reading who's rather like I was then at that service. Jesus encounters a woman who desperately needs to be made whole, but who doesn't want to be singled out by him as he is on his journey to Jairus' house. But as the crowd is pressing in on Jesus, she believes she can reach out and touch him anonymously. But Jesus knows that power has gone out from him, and he stops to confront her. In approaching Jesus, she has to say goodbye to her fear of what others might think and say. The nature of this lady's illness, hemorrhaging, probably caused her great embarrassment, for she was considered by law to be unclean, unfit for worship. No wonder she had no self-esteem. In crying out to Jesus in humility and in reaching out with courage, both Jairus and this woman were caught up and enveloped in the love of Jesus, and they found the healing they asked for. I've chosen as our next song one I was really taken with when I heard it at the end of the 2010 film version of True Grit. Towards the end of this film, the main character, Rooster Cogburn, a most unlikely hero, rescues a young girl who's been bitten by a rattlesnake. He tends her wound and carries her off on his horse and rides day and night until the horse is too exhausted to go any further. Then he picks the girl up and runs the rest of the way to save her. Without his help, the girl would have died. Quite similar to our gospel story, really. Let's hear that song, What a Fellowship, by Iris DeMent.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning
case, isn't it, that all too often we call on God as a last resort when we're desperate and there's no other course of action open to us. But what about when we have prayed and our prayers haven't been answered as we'd hoped? I wrote this next song which says more or less, give it all to God anyway, because ultimately he has our eternal destiny in his hands. It's called Giving It All to You.
All my endless imaginings, the worries that are mine, my doubts where you're leading me, the pruning of the branches on the vine. Oh Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Never there, my cry echoes drawn to walk your way. Resisting or surrendering, must emptiness surround me every day. Oh Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Giving it all to you.
This is Radio Tyneside, hospital radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the ward entertainment system, and on 1575 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. You can contact us online, info@radiotyneside.co.uk. After healing this woman, Jesus continues on to Jairus' house, and there, despite the opposition from the mourners who say the girl is dead, Jesus raises her to life with the words, "Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, get up." She gets up and walks, and they give her something to eat. Could Jesus be speaking words of healing to us today? One of my former pupils brought to my attention recently a Christian singer called Mark Schultz, whose songs have helped him to reach out in faith to God. So I thought I would play one of the songs he suggested this morning. It's all about how God carries us through the valley of the shadows and protects us in the storms of life. And it's called "He Will Carry Me."
I call, you hear me. I've lost it all, and it's more than I can bear. I feel so
This is Sheila Hannah. Thank you for being with me today, and my thanks also to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills in producing this programme. I hope you'll all listen in next Sunday, and please stay tuned for Martin Green for his lively breakfast show. This final song, From This Moment On, is one that I wrote when I was offering my life to God. I could just visualize myself holding up my hand to God, and in that hand was my life, but the hand was a clutching one, not an open one. But as the song says, we must open up that hand to give and receive from God. May God be with you right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and may He bless the lives of all those who know and love you. Bye for now.
From this moment on, I raise my hand, my clutching hand to you. My life is in that hand, I give that life to you. From this moment on,
into my